Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. And it's good to see Jeremiah coming and being a part of the service tonight. And again, golf had nothing to do with it, I'm sure. But I think we need to have a golf tournament every week if we're going to get special music like that coming in and being a blessing to us. And so, but yeah, I appreciate that tonight, Brother Jeremiah. Brother Jeremiah was one of our associates here and overseeing the music ministry for about 10 years there and did a great job. So we appreciate him coming back tonight. Acts chapter 2. On Wednesday nights, we'll be going through and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. The life of the Apostle Peter. It carries the Gospels, and then, of course, we'll get into the Apostolic Age. And there's a lot there with Peter, but we're viewing it through the eyes of Peter. We're studying the life of Peter. We want to see just how God worked through the man Peter. And we've seen how Jesus called him. Then discipled him for the 3.5 years or so. And then after he resurrected from the grave, we find that he finished the discipling of Peter and ascended on into heaven. And now would be a time for Peter to fulfill the call of God upon his life and be the leader, the man that God had called him to be and that Jesus had discipled him to be. And so that's what we're looking at now during the Apostolic Age. And Peter played a very, very vital role in the Apostolic Age with the New Testament church. So Acts chapter 2, tonight we're going to be reading verse 25 down to verse 41. Go ahead and stand with me if you'd like, if you're able to. Acts chapter 2 and verse 25. The Bible says, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are all afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. Let's pray and we'll get into things. Father, we bow before you again. We love you. Thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God that we have to learn more about who you are and how you would have us to live. And Lord, I just pray tonight for all that are here and those that are viewing via the live stream. God, as we get ready to preach the word that we just read, I pray that you'd empower it and help everyone that is listening and that is here, God, to receive exactly what you have for them. I pray, God, that you would just empower the preaching of thy word once again tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Just to catch up a little bit, Peter had been discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Acts, we find here during this is the beginning of the apostolic age, he would actually stand up and start leading Christ's church as God had prepared him to do that. He was a leader of the apostles, and so now he is looked upon by the other apostles to take the lead. And this is the first great opportunity that he would have to do that. It's on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell within the disciples. And there is about 120 at that particular time. That's why the Bible, we've already studied that. But all of them were receiving the Holy Spirit of God as Jesus had promised that he would send another comforter. And as they received the Holy Spirit, the sign of his presence was witnessing. Now that's important. That was witnessing. And in chapter 1 and verse 8, the last message that Jesus would give before he would ascend, he said, "But ye shall receive power," witnessing power, "after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so the Holy Spirit was coming to enable them to be witnesses for Christ right in their own Jerusalem and their own Judea, and eventually being able to partner with missionaries to go extend all around the world. That's New Testament Christianity. That is the Great Commission that we still have after 2,000 years later. That's exactly what we're still doing. And can I tell you that if you're saved tonight, you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. And the main reason that he is in you is to empower you to be a witness. To live the Christian life as God would have us to live the Christian life. And to be able to share our faith with others. Praise the Lord. It's the power of God. It's what we are to continue to do until the rapture of the church. In Acts in chapter 2, we find here that it's the day of Pentecost. And we understand what the Pentecost means. It means 50, and it was a Jewish holiday. And they were celebrating the 50 days after the Passover. And so we find that there were Jews that had come back from all over the world, from every nationality. They were there. And chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, concerning the disciples who had been indwelled by the Holy Spirit, there were Cretes and Arabians and all the different nationalities, and we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. That's the biblical tongue movement there. They were actually speaking languages of people that were there so that they could witness for Christ. Yeah, amen. We don't have time to go back in and preach all that over again, but that's important that we understand that as we move forward. The believers would witness in languages that could be understood. Yeah. And they couldn't understand how that these unlearned disciples could speak their language and testify of Jesus at the same time. Well, then, Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to verse 24, after Peter stands up, we find that he connects this Pentecost, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the speaking of languages, he connects it to Jesus' resurrection. Now he is witnessing to all of those Jews that are there that have seen what's taken place, and he connects it, as he should, to Jesus Christ. You wouldn't have the Comforter, you wouldn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit if it were not for Jesus and his resurrection. And then, so now we get into our text tonight. I trust that everybody's somewhat up to par here with us tonight. I'm using a golf term there, up to par. And verse 25 to verse 28, what Peter does is he connects them to somebody that they have a lot of respect for, David. Verse 25 to verse 28, Peter connects Pentecost to the Jews' patriarch and king, David. And so we find it recorded here, but he speaks of what David wrote many years prior to Christ's birth. You see, that's important, because the Jews didn't believe that Jesus was Messiah, but they did believe in the coming of the Messiah. Orthodox Jews still believe in the Messiah. They just don't believe that he's come yet. And so Peter, knowing who he's witnessing to, he knows that he has to connect them to what they believe. He knows what they've been influenced by. He knows what they would listen to David. If David was there present with them, speaking to them, they knew this to be King David, their patriarch, one of their patriarchs, then they would listen to what David had to say. Well, Peter presents what David wrote. Amen. Verse 25 down to verse 28. So this is what Peter now is addressing them. For David speaketh concerning him. Now, this is what David had written. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. David's writing this. I foresaw. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. David, in his age, in his dispensation of time that he was living in, God gave him insight into the coming of the Messiah. And David said, I saw this. God allowed me to see this. And in my heart I rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. When I die, I'm going to die in hope, and my body will rest in hope, because I know that I will be resurrected. David's writing this. He's connecting them with the Old Testament words of David that was inspired by the Holy Spirit that allowed David to see Christ in the New Testament. Yeah. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, in the grave. David said, I am rejoicing, and I know I'm going to die. But God's not going to leave my soul in a grave. I don't have to live in eternity in this hell, or that hell there is grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. David said, I saw the Messiah, and his body didn't corrode. It didn't erode in the grave. He wasn't in there long enough. And he had a bodily resurrection. Yeah. Thou hast made known to me. Now, this is still David's writing. But Peter is taking this and he's saying, let me help you to see the Messiah has come. David saw this day. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. David's still writing this about God making known to him about the Messiah, the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. How do you not be full of joy when you know that to die is gain. For the believer to face physical death, as Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And when you understand that, what joy, what peace. Yeah. So this is Peter now, after Pentecost, using Pentecost to witness to all the Jews from all nationalities, all around every nation, the Bible says. Because they were there for the Pentecost, the celebration. David saw and wrote about what God gave him. So now that Peter presents what David wrote, now Peter adds his commentary, still under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. As Peter was an apostle, they didn't have the completion of the New Testament. They didn't have the New Testament scriptures. They had the words and the teachings of Christ, which would eventually, by the end of the apostolic age, be written down and be completed. The Bible would be completed during the apostolic age. So after the apostolic age, there's no need for tongues. We have it written down, and we not only have it written down, we can translate it into any language that we need to. Yeah. So we find here that now Peter reminds them of who David was after he gave them David's writings. And now he says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch. Somebody that they would have respect for. That they, again, would believe whatever David would say. And sometimes when I'm witnessing somebody or talking to somebody about the Lord, I'll try to connect with somebody that they know of and help them to see that this person is a born-again believer. This person received Jesus Christ, and I can give my testimony. That's one of the best testimonies to give to somebody you're trying to win to Christ. You can tell them, this is what I did. This is what happened to me. And if they're listening to you, they have some kind of respect for you. If they don't respect you, they're not going to listen to you. But if they're listening to you, they have some kind of respect. So you want to present your testimony or the testimony of somebody else that they would be able to look to and say, wow, that man was a born-again believer. Another golf illustration, Payne Stewart. And Dave McCracken had some tracks made up with Payne Stewart's testimony. Because anybody that's a golfer knows who Payne Stewart is, and he was tragically killed in a plane accident. But he had a testimony that he had received Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and the Golf Channel they actually covered his entire funeral service that was preached by a Baptist preacher. And it was right there. All the golfers were sitting in that funeral home, and they heard the gospel. Every one of them heard the gospel. And Payne Stewart actually had a greater influence for Christ in his death than he had in his life. And so if I'm talking to somebody that is familiar with golf, I'll say, do you know who Payne Stewart? Oh, yeah, I know Payne. It's a tragic ending to his life. I said, well, it really wasn't, because God used that. And then you share with them the testimony of Payne Stewart, and that, wow, that helps them to somebody that they had respect for and believe that if he got saved, there must be something to this. Just another tool of witnessing. And so we find here that Peter now, he says he's a patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. And his sepulcher is with us unto this day. So He is a patriarch who is dead, but before he died, he wrote about the joy of a resurrection. The confidence of a resurrection. That's good stuff. And he's being honored because his body is still here in this sepulcher. And they would be able to say, yeah, I know, I've been to his sepulcher. I know exactly where he's buried. Yeah. Therefore, being a prophet, David, a patriarch, and now David, a prophet. One who God reveals future things to. One that can speak of the very reality of the future. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. A prophet who was able to present that God was going to raise up the Messiah from his seed. And now they're having to, David, you mean Jesus Christ that had just been doing everything they did and we just crucified, he is of the seed of David? Peter said, Peter is presenting this because he's wanting them to see who Jesus truly is and to get them to the place to for them to believe that he is the Messiah. And his genealogy, Matthew chapter 1. You know, sometimes we read through the Old Testament and we read some of it and we think, why is all those names in there? And this begat this person, that person begat this person. You know, it's one of those things that unless you really do a research, you'll probably never use that. But then every now and then you need to research a person's seed line and you realize you mean they were connected. And there's a golden nugget there whenever you need it. And in the book of Matthew in chapter 1, Matthew starts off with the New Testament Gospels with the genealogy of Christ being connected to David. Verse 1:1, it says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The son of David? Yeah. They didn't have the book of Matthew's writings yet. But Peter understood what David wrote and the prophecy that he made that God gave him that the Messiah would come from the seed of the flesh would come from the seed of David. And then you read it. And then it goes, Abraham begot Isaac. It goes all the way down to 16. It says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, you have that to take people to. Peter didn't have that. He had David to go back to. But he had to build him up and say, remember, he was your patriarch. And not only was he the patriarch, he was also a prophet. You and I can connect that by just saying, hey, see what the Bible says about Old Testament, Messiah, to New Testament? Yeah, praise the Lord for that. It's good to know that when you're witnessing. Yeah. Was in Russia, communistic country, and we was going, and Russia was one of the hardest languages. I couldn't hardly say anything in Russia. I had to have an interpreter with me everywhere I went. And yet when we would try to lead them to Christ, they had no understanding of who Jesus was. And we had to go all the way back into the Old Testament and help them to understand this is God's word who prophesied of the coming of the Messiah. And then proved to them, how, taking them through that and proven to them that this is the Messiah that was prophesied. He actually came some 2,000 years ago. And America's God, America's not great because America's people are greater than any other people on the earth. America is great because America's God is greater than any other so-called God in the earth. That's what we would present to them. And then they would see it all outlined in scriptures. And when we get to then giving them the gospel, their eyes would open up like this, and you could tell, boy, they got it. The conviction of the Holy Spirit set down, and they would willingly receive Christ as their Savior. Yeah, amen. Yeah. So we find that's what Peter's doing with David. Yeah. Jesus would physically resurrect from the grave, verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Jesus. He said, yeah, you crucified him and he died, but death and hell couldn't hold him. And not only did he resurrect, just not in spirit, but he resurrected physically, bodily resurrection. Yeah. So he's presenting that. Praise the Lord for that. Then Acts chapter 2, verse 32 down to verse 36. Peter, now he turns to the testimony of the disciples. Now all of this is connected to Pentecost. Now Peter has been using this, his sermon is he knows where he's going. He's going to bring it all together at the end. He knows where he's going, and he uses all these different things to get the people to the place where they will believe that Jesus and know for sure that Jesus is the Messiah. And so now we find in verse 32 down to verse 36, he uses the testimony of the disciples themselves. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Puts himself in there with the other apostles as well as the other disciples that had just been filled with the Holy Spirit that had come to dwell within them. We. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Because after the resurrection, before Jesus would ascend up to heaven to send the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Now, they didn't have that, but we have it. They didn't have the book of Acts, but we have it today. To whom also he showed himself alive. The resurrected Jesus showed himself to the apostles and the disciples that were there alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's what he's referring to. We saw the resurrected Savior. Our testimony is that we met with him and he was with us for 40 days after the resurrection. And he taught us things that only he knew. And we have so much to teach you as the apostles. Verse 33, go over there with me. Everybody following me tonight? Amen. Amen. I don't want to rush too much here, but I want you to get this tonight. Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, the Holy Spirit of God, which ye now see and hear, which was Pentecost. Jesus, as God's, at God's side, for he ever liveth to make intercession, he ascended up into heaven to sit on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession That's what we know. That's what they were being taught. That's what Jesus told them that he was getting ready to do. That's why it's now written down in the New Testament. And so we understand that it's in the Bible. They didn't have that, but Peter understood the Bible. He understood the words of God. And so now he's presenting to them what you and I have to read to understand because it's in the Bible. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost for all to acknowledge. First of all, the apostles and the disciples there that actually received the Holy Spirit, they understood there's something that has happened to me. There's something that come into my heart, and now I see things differently than what I saw them before. There's something that's going on inside of me. God is in me. If you're saved, then you ought to understand that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past, and behold, all things become new. Why? Because God lives in you. Amen. Amen. So that's proof positive for me. And every one of those apostles and disciples that had the indwelling of the Spirit of God saying, proof positive for me. You saw all this and you heard the language, you heard the speaking in tongues, and that's something that only God could do. But I'm here to testify, he lives in me. Yeah. So Peter now, he used David, he used Jesus, now he's using their own testimonies that he lives within us. Verse 34. For David is not ascended unto the heavens. Now they had very high regards for David, but he says David didn't ascend into heaven. David was just a man. He was a godly man, but he was not the Christ. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said to my Lord. Who is his Lord? The Christ, Jesus. Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. David said he had joy in going to the grave. He would wait in the grave for Christ to come, to resurrect, and then to resurrect him. Yeah. But he wasn't that Christ. But he was very confident in who that Christ was. Verse 36. Therefore, this is Peter, still his message here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified. Uh-oh. Both Lord and Christ. You mean I've just crucified the Messiah? They had to come to that understanding. They would have to come to that realization. For you to get saved, you have to come to realization that he died for you. That you're the one that should have been hanging on the cross. And so, yes, your sin crucified Christ. That's why he went. He paid your sin debt, my sin debt. They had to come to the understanding. You crucified Christ. You know, when you come to that understanding and you thought you were a good person, you thought ahead of time, if I go to hell, I mean, there's a lot worse people going there, surely. If you weigh it out, I've not committed near the sins of other people's. So just weighing it out, no way God would send me to a devil's hell. You're thinking wrong. It's your sin that sends you to a devil's hell. And you have committed sin. And the wages of sin is death. That's eternal hell. That's just the penalty for it. Jesus paid that penalty. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for you. You crucified him. Paul thought he was serving God by persecuting Christianity until he met Jesus. He had been taught everything that there was to learn except for who Jesus was. See, so many religions, they teach people everything they think they want them to know except who Jesus truly is. In Acts chapter 9, let me just read to you. You don't have to turn there, but verse 5, and he said, Saul, now this is Paul, who art thou, Lord? He understands this is God, and he's calling God Lord. I know this light and everything going on. I know it's you, God, and I've been serving you, and I've been doing everything that you'd have me to do. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I can just imagine Paul's heart sank. No, tell me it's not true. You really are the Messiah? And I know what I've done against you and your disciples? And you are Lord? You're the Messiah? Yeah. And he, trembling and astonished, trembling because now he is fearful because he knows what he's done. But he also realizes you're speaking to me. What will thou have me to do? Now that I know that you are the Messiah, I bow down before you. I humble myself. And I'll do and I'll be whatever you want me to be. And I'll go wherever you want me to go. And I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior of my life. I love that. Go back and we're going to close here. But verse 37 to verse 41, chapter 2. It's how all should respond. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Somewhat familiar. It's the very same thing that took place with Paul. Then now they realize that I've crucified the Messiah. From the testimony, from the preaching that I've just heard, and the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of David, the testimony of Peter, and the testimony of the Old Testament saints and prophets, I get it now. I see it now. I crucified Jesus, the Messiah. You see, all must face this truth. At some point, all will. The sad thing is, many will wait too long to face it. Agrippa was one of them in Acts 26. And he said, I come under the conviction, and Paul almost persuadeth me, but not now. And you put it off, and you put it off, and before you know it, it's too late. There's no unbelievers in hell. You've heard me say that before. Because just a second after death, you realize Christ is Lord. He's real. It's all real. The Bible's true. Yeah. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent. You got to acknowledge your sin now. Yeah, you crucified the Messiah, but you can ask forgiveness for that. You can repent. And once you repent and trust in Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized, and being baptized means that you can publicly identify with Jesus Christ and not be ashamed of Him. And go on and serve Him with the rest of your life. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift. What you just experienced, the others receive in the speaking of tongues of the Holy Spirit of God coming upon you, dwelling within you. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, from every generation. For some 2,000 years, every generation, this has been offered to them. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And then verse 41. Then they that gladly received, they received his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Do you see Peter? He didn't see it while he walked with Christ. He believed him to be the Messiah. He was being discipled by Jesus for this moment. He didn't see it even when Jesus was arrested and he denied him 3 times. He didn't fully see it even afterwards when he says, well, look to John and said, what will this man do? And Jesus said, don't worry about what anyone else does. You stay focused on what I have for you to do, Peter. Yeah. And now Pentecost. And Peter stands up. And he presents these truths. Puts his heart into it. He gave it all that he could give it. He was preaching. He steps back after he's given the message that God wanted him to give. 3,000 walk the aisles and get saved, and get baptized. And I can see Peter weeping. Because I remember teaching a third grade junior jet cadets. And afterwards, having a little boy come up to me and wanted me to lead him to Christ. I remember preaching to junior high young people and leading most of my junior high class to Christ, which many of them are in this church today, 40 years later. I remember thinking, thank you, Lord. Because when you preach the word of God, you want people to receive it and respond to it. When I stand up here and I preach the word of God and I see invitation time, people come to the altars. And now I know it's just not all, but it is about making public decisions. But it's also about later on hearing somebody say, preacher, that message is exactly what I needed at that day and time. And I get letters and I get cards and I get this and I get that and saying, preacher, thank you for being sensitive to the Spirit of God and preaching exactly what I needed. I know what Peter felt like. Might not have been 3,000. I've never seen that. But to be used of God. Yeah. And any one of us can be used of God. Matter of fact, if you're saved, you have the power of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you so that you can be a witness. And when you witness, what a joy to see somebody come to Christ because of your witness. Yeah. Praise the Lord for the Apostle Peter. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Peter shouting for joy, no doubt crying tears, because he could see what Jesus had seen and what he had prepared him for. Yeah. God spoke to you, and there's a decision that needs to be made. Whether you're in your pew, you bring it to the altar, make whatever decision. Commit to it. Let it impact your life. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray now, God, as we have studied this passage of Scripture and Peter's life and how you prepared him for this Pentecost and the message afterwards, I pray, God, that you'd help us all to see that we likewise are being prepared for a task that you would have us to complete. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.